Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Guardians and Twins will get underway in Minnesota. So we got that going on. We got preseason football. Did you watch last night?
Which game?
Well, I had my eyes on the Panthers-Patriots game, and God, what a suck fest that was. Don't judge those two teams based off last night. Judge them based off their god-awful rosters and rookie head coaches and second-year or rookie quarterbacks. But, man, when we're coming out of that game with people in New England being like, that's Joe Milton guy's got a chance. Okie dokie.
I did think he had a nice, chance to become a decent pro.
I think
had some injuries. Big injury.
You know, I think he has a real chance to give Boston sports media a chance to talk about Joe Milton versus Drake May for
and there you go.
Like 3 days. Yeah. There's no chance. He was against the threes. We can't do this, right? Like Kirk Cousins didn't beat out RG3. And we do have to talk about RG3 at some point.
Oh, he's enjoying the croissants.
Listen, when I am in Paris with my beautiful blonde wife.
Oui.
We do the, what is that, Anastasia? What's the one where the two dogs, is it All Dogs Go to Heaven? Where they kiss in the middle, they have spaghetti in the mouth?
101 Dalmatians.
Lady and the Tramp.
Lady and the Tramp. God, none of us got anything right.
They're all dog movies.
I did start with Anastasia, which is a movie about, the death of the Russian monarchy. Whoops.
At least he didn't say Arisa Katz.
That's true. No, I actually think I was so far. I think cats are relatively close to dog. The Russian monarchy is as far as away as you can get away from Lady and the Tramp. That's when I'm in Paris with my beautiful blonde wife, I'm thinking to myself, can we Lady and the Tramp this with what seems to be a 2-foot-long croissant? That's how I do it.
Croissant.
That's how you do it when you're in Paris. You know that thing didn't taste great, right?
The thing that was in his mouth?
Yeah, when you're trying to make a 2-foot-long or a foot-long croissant, there's no way. You can't.
It's possible.
The whole point of a delicate small piece of pastry is that you've got it to scale, right? If you're trying to scale it up to 7,000 times the correct croissant size, that's not going to taste right. I think everybody knows that's not going to taste right. So we got that going on. What do you think about this croissant?
I think it's a big one.
It's a chunk, as they say.
A chunk?
A chunk. You ever heard that?
No.
I wish chunk would have been around when I was a kid because I would not have hated. I got called chunky. Not great. Big boned. That we knew what that was synonymous for. You're a little fat ass. Got called fat. Just plain out. And here, at that point, I was just a chubby kid. But Chonk, I would have loved being a Chonk. That might have been my nickname. If Chonk had been around 30 years ago, it might be Chonk Wilson and Dustin Fox.
Chonk's a good name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like, I wouldn't put it on a birth certificate.
Well, no, that would be cruel. Yeah. Hey, it's Fat Wilson. That shouldn't probably be your legal name, but a nickname like Pork Chop. Remember Floyd Womack? Pork Chop Womack? Yeah, that's the sweet spot right there.
Oh, Womack.
So, your turn.
About what? The NFL? You want me to talk about last night?
Yeah. Yeah. Takes, hard observations.
I went to an Italian restaurant and sat with an 85-year-old crooner.
Uh-huh.
Who was singing to us last night. Shout out, Larry.
Look at that. Larry Oki.
Sweet old man. It was Larry Oki. It was.
So I told you, I have one of my old bosses, his dad at like 60, retired, made butt ton of money. He's just living off the interest now. But for the last 25 years, this man, this sweet, beautiful old man, just goes around singing. Just has like a day planner. He's like, oh, I guess I'm at the old folks' home in the afternoon. I'm going to be at this Italian restaurant at this time. And, oh, got the Civic Center tomorrow. The man, his whole life now consists of going from booking to booking. He doesn't make a lot of money, but he makes enough money that he's like, he's not costing him anything. He gets free food, free everything, access to the finest young 67-year-old women you could possibly want. For 25 years, this man has just been living the life.
It's a hell of a life.
Larry Oki, buddy. Larry Oki.
I wish I could sing.
Yeah.
I can't sing at all.
I can't sing at all either. Especially now.
No?
Now that I talk for a living, my voice is destroyed. There's nothing left. I sound nice, but I do not sound nice when I sing.
You're a sweet man.
I don't know about that. So we did hear on the Stefanski show last night, Kevin gave us a little bit of inroads into his thinking on when to play starters, and that includes Deshaun Watson, the bulk of the true number ones.
We really look at this first game and we look at the roster, and you start with your starters, and the first question is, what do they need? And then, are they coming off an injury or are they injured currently? And that fact, all those things factor into every decision. So that's where we start with this game. When we get to next week with Minnesota, those two practices versus the Vikings will be predominantly the ones, the starters, and then some twos, obviously. When we get to that Vikings game, we won't play all those guys in the game because they've competed like crazy versus the Vikings.
So basically, it sure seems like you're going to see a few of the ones tonight. You're not going to really see hardly any of the ones next week against Minnesota. So if you see Deshaun and if you see the rest of the ones, it's likely to be in that Seattle game two Saturdays from now. All right, well, I guess technically it's three Saturdays from now. How do you feel about that?
I mean, listen, I'm not losing sleep over this decision or these decisions on how much you want to play your starters in the preseason. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. We'll look back and say he should have played more if he looks rusty. That's just how it always goes. Like, it's not really like a win-win. There's no win, excuse me. It's a no-win situation for the coach because he puts his hurt, then he's criticized. If he doesn't put him out there and he looks rusty, he gets criticized.
So I think what's important is I think we've had a few people speculate that the Seattle game was going to be the game where we saw Deshaun, if we see him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that Kevin kind of leans into it and says, you know, hey, the next 2 weeks, this is what we look at. It certainly at least gives you a pathway. And the reality is, for this week, I think the work to be done is a lot. It's until you see the starters in full force in the preseason, I think it's about three things. I think it's about quarterbacks. How does Jameis look? How does Snoop Huntley look? How does DTR look? I think a lot of the young defensive players, and then just young players in general. Jamari Thrash, who we interviewed yesterday, how does he look? How does, if Jerry Jeudy plays, he's one of the starters, but how does he look? And it's more about, like, there's nothing concrete. I know it's, and I have, nobody has been more looking down their nose on the preseason than I am. But in a way, the only real loss here is if you get blown out, which is never fun in the preseason. That tends to make me a little grumpy. Or if there's an injury.
Injury is the worst of the worst.
So it's like low-stakes football. I'm kind of just looking forward to some low-stakes football.
Yeah, I mean, that's, but listen, I mean, like every day they're out there in the practice field. We're not watching it. Don't know how long they're out there. Don't know what they're running. And yet we, you may see a tweet in an hour. It says this player got carted off. And you're like, oh my God. But it's funny because it, when that happens, you're like, oh, it stinks, man. You know, this guy's training camp. But when it happens in a game, you're like pissed off at somebody else for making him play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, well,
like he shouldn't have been out there.
And it's funny.
It's like saying that, okay, well, this guy got carted off today in practice. Well, he shouldn't have been out there. So okay, when is it okay for him to be out there?
But I think that's at the heart of this is several of the same people in this town saying, you got to play Deshaun. You got to knock the rust off. We got to see what he looks like before you get to the regular season. If Deshaun or any of the ones get hurt, they're going to be the first to bash Kevin Stefanski and company.
Mm-hmm.
So what I kind of like about what they're doing is, I mean, I think it's apparent at this point. Kevin kind of just does, and as he should, what he wants to do, what they mm-hmm. plan to do. I don't know, man. It's funny. I think everybody always talks about the rookies in these kind of games. I'm always more interested in the second-year guys. Like, the second-year, like, I really love Diabate coming out of Utah. He seems to be their second-string middle linebacker. With Hicks banged up, you might actually see more Diabate early in the season. Like, that's a dude I'm excited to see. Okay, does he look, I don't want to say does he look more like a starter, but does he look like a guy that could take a step this year? Does he look out of place if he plays with the ones? Ronnie Hickman is another dude who I thought at points last year really showed you something. That's a second-year guy.
Yeah, I mean, that was a surprise. They sort of hit on that guy. I mean, he's undrafted.
Yep. Well, and that's, but those are the guys. Year two guys are the guys I tend to watch the preseason more than, I know I said Jamari Thrash, than even guys like rookies. Because rookies, dude, I always expect to look like rookies. So you can be surprised when they don't look like rookies. You a big breaking fan there, Dustin? You've been watching the breaking that is going on in the Olympics?
Breaking? I don't know what that is.
Well, because I think breakdancing would sound ridiculous as an Olympic sport. They have renamed it breaking. And breaking is all over Twitter right now. It's breaking Twitter, quite frankly. It's just
is
people.
Is this something that I need to see?
No, because okay. It shouldn't be an Olympic sport.
Should I, like, take a peek at it?
I think if you want to just I mean, is breaking
it on,
Olympics.
Is it on TV right now?
We are not turning off a baseball game for breaking. I'm sorry. I've put tennis on the TV
would
before.
Would that break you?
It would break me very, very much. Listen, I already think handball's a stupid sport to have. Like, handball, pickleball, anything that can be played really well by the immensely out of shape or the aggressively elderly. But breaking? I mean, I know it's athletic, right? But how is it? It's a subjective thing. Like, oh, yeah. I broke slightly better than you.
You're a better breaker. They've been saying that about you.
Yeah. You just got served. Like, what are we doing here? This isn't America's Got Talent. It's not So You Think You Can Dance. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. And people are so all about it because, oh, we're so precious and look how progressive and forward-thinking we are. It looks dumb. No, I'm not talking about breakdancing in general. Breakdancing is cool. But to treat it like an Olympic sport, that's where it looks dumb.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of things that probably shouldn't be considered sports, right? That are in the Olympics.
Handball. Just gotta say it again.
I'm just going to say I think there's a lot of things that I watched during the Olympics that probably shouldn't be considered sports. I'm not going to call anybody out. There's a few of them that I just were like, that's weird.
Rhythmic swimming. Rhythmic gymnastics. Anything.
Okay. They said you've got really good rhythm, Nick.
No, they have never said that. No, they have seen me dance.
Oh, yeah.
They've not seen me break. Because things would get broke. But, just talking about the preseason opener, Dustin's ready and raring to go.
Oh, can't wait. I cannot wait.
He's been doing film, I mean, just watching as much film as he possibly could.
Because here's the hard part, Nick. You know, those guys on Green Bay, I mean, a lot of them have no tape in the league.
That's true.
So I'm having to just go back and sift through all this college tape from last year to understand, you know, the challenges that the Packers present.
I kid. That is exactly the case. By the way, Mad Davey saying, remember when Nick Wilson said Xavion Curry should go to the Marlins so he can just pitch? Well, I think the Marlins listened to the show. Yeah, Xavion Curry got claimed by the Marlins. That's, you know, like four people have now, because, okay, Xavier Curry, who's like the 26th guy on the roster for 2 years, but who I absolutely have the weirdest affinity for, because I think he actually can pitch. I think he's a big league pitcher. I don't know if he's a starter.
Is he your Danny Salazar?
Yeah, well, no, Danny Salazar could throw. He just couldn't stay healthy. Xavier doesn't have that stuff. But it's wild that I've now, Max said something to me, Mad Davey on Twitter said something to me, and I've gotten three texts about Xavier Curry. I must have really pounded the table for Xavier Curry to go to the worst team in baseball, second worst team in baseball, if I have this many people within 15 minutes of him being claimed off waivers by said team that I said he should go to. I must have really exposed myself as a massive Xavier Curry fan. Now, the Browns Coaches Show was on this station last night, and we're just talking about a preseason opener. Dustin's been watching tape. He's been, you know, a gritty gym rat.
Just breaking it down.
He's just a guy who's out here watching film. That's all he does. Just a dude being a dude. Stefanski yesterday on the Browns Coaches Show talked about the Browns' defensive identity, and I think within this answer, you're going to know where I'm going on the rookie that I'm going to be watching tomorrow.
Our defense is based on getting off the ball. I mean, flying off the ball, wrecking things as a defensive line. We don't read. There's some defenses which are fine. They're good defenses too, where they wait for the blocks. They defeat the blocks. They read based on what's the guard or the tackle's doing, and then they make their move. For us, we're going. Reckless abandon.
So, based off what you heard there, the identity that now is year two of this identity of just – who can get across the line of scrimmage and jam up an offensive line first? What rookie do you think I'm most excited to watch tomorrow?
Boy, Nick, I don't know.
You're really good at this radio thing. Yeah.
Who are you excited to see, Nick?
Mike Hall Jr. Yeah. Of the Buckeyes.
The Buckeye.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. You told me that yesterday. I thought you were talking about Mike Hall from Big Ten Network. The announcer?
You mean the man who was on the SportsCenter dream job competition. Yeah.
He did. But you said to me before the show, you're like, have you heard about Mike Hall? And I just immediately thought of him for some reason.
Well, in fairness, you do watch a butt ton of Big Ten Network.
Well, and also, like, that guy's name has been stuck in my head since 2010 when I, like, did an audition with him at Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
Mike Hall. That's Mike Hall.
Do you think, who's had a better last 15 years, you or Mike Hall Jr.? Other Mike Hall, as I'm now going to call him.
I think Mike Hall.
All right. Yeah. Mac, would you second that, or you think it's Dustin? What a delay there, by the way. Good
God. No, I had to get the mic.
Yeah, it's 5 inches from your face.
Okay, calm down there. I'm not RG3.
5 inches from his face?
I'm not RG3 over here.
Said what I said.
No, I would go Dustin.
He's not RG3.
Go Dustin.
I haven't seen Mike Hall on ESPN.
Keith, can you please appropriately show Mac how quickly you can get on the mic? Who's had a better last 15 years? Mike Hall of the Big Ten Network or Dustin Fox?
Dustin Fox.
Okay, look at that.
It's a progression.
Yeah,
I don't know why it's so hard for me to say that word. Progression for you.
You're
doing better games every year.
That's true. Ken's going to have to do an impression of you on the show on Monday.
Thanks, Keith.
Yeah.
And that was so nice that I just let everything go.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I didn't say a word.
No, your face said everything.
We're on radio.
I saw it. Max saw it. It would take him 15 minutes to get to that mic to say he saw it.
We're on radio.
I mean, the computer was in the way, so I couldn't see it.
Are we building Mike Hall up too fast, though?
Which Mike Hall?
Which one?
The rookie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. He's a talented broadcaster.
Twice in the last week, we had Z'Darrius Smith do it with the media, and then we had Obo Okoronkwo on the air, and he dropped it, too. Can we just have a conversation and quit making jokes about everything? I mean, my God.
Oh, really? Kettle?
Well, all we've done, we've been on the air for like 30 minutes. We've like picked apart everything. But Mike Hall, like, are we building him up too? I was talking to Zach Jackson off the air yesterday. I'm like, they're really building this guy up. I mean, I think a lot of people have big expectations for him, but like, he hasn't touched the field yet. I mean, we all recognize the potential that he had at Ohio State, but there was also a reason why he was picked where he was picked.
No, it's funny because Albert, in his five takeaways from Brown's camp tour de force, he did talk about how, you know, there was a lot of skepticism about the work of Mike Hall Jr. And so far, the Browns have kind of raved not just about the talent, but that he's been – well, he didn't say work. It was about consistency. And when you talk about a young player and inconsistency – you're pretty much calling right to, does he work hard enough to be a consistent player? So, yeah, I mean, they're certainly putting it out there that they think he's going to be a good player. But I don't – no, because I think – here's the reason why I don't think it's too much too soon. One, I think he's got a lot of vets in that room that are not going to let any good words go to his head. I actually think there's extra pressure on him because he's playing in front of his hometown as well.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how much pressure you think that's really going to put on the guy?
I think if you are proud to be from somewhere, yeah, and
Denzel Ward is.
But the difference is, like, the thing that everybody questioned about you is your consistency, is your ability. And, mm-hmm. again, the coded language there is your work. You don't want to be in the hometown newspaper being the guy that apparently doesn't work too hard. So I think between the vets and just knowing there's going to be a little egg on your face if you kind of ham and egg it. Yeah, I think that kind of helps. Here's the other thing. I just think he's a perfect fit for the defense. Like, the wide nine defense, and I know he's a little undersized, and that's going to be something that I think he's going to have to speak to and figure out his entire career, because offensive linemen are getting faster and stronger. They're not getting smaller. At the same point, there's a reason why guys like Aaron Donald, I feel like we've never had more knockoff Aaron Donalds in the league, and that's not what I'm trying to say Mike Hall Jr. is, but of guys that are 280, 285, that are just superior disruptors up the middle, I think it's because of systems like the wide nine. For instance, if Mike was playing like five technique in like a 3-4 defense, I don't think he'd be good as a rookie because he didn't do that in college. I know he moved around a little bit at Ohio State, but like, this is the best part of and the most projectable part of the Browns defense with young defensive linemen is it's pretty simple. How quickly can you get off the line of scrimmage? And listen, we debated Jerry Jeudy camp buzz. We did. And that's a fair debate. We can do the same thing with Mike Hall. Dude, I saw the other day there's a video of him and Miles on the drill of who can shed their blocker quicker. And he matched Miles step for step.
We know this kid's like pretty much a freak athlete.
Yeah.
For his size. That's pretty wild though, to have a burst like that.
Yeah. And so I think even if he's not a finished product, which he shouldn't be, he's a 20-year-old kid. Even if he's not a finished product, do I think he could go out there for 30% of the snaps? And if all he has to do is, hey, your job on this play is to get through the gap quicker than Miles or as quick as Miles. I actually think he's the guy on the team that can do it. Like, there are a couple guys, and you and I talked about the wide receivers the other day. Like, I think Zed Tillman and Elijah Moore and Jerry Jeudy, those are the guys that define whether you're the 18th best pass catching unit in the NFL or whether you're top 10. I think when it comes to this defensive line, I think Mike Hall Jr., I think Alex Wright, And listen, they're not young guys, but probably one or two of the other rotational defensive tackles. Mm-hmm. I think those are the guys that decide how sustainable your ability to get pressure is. So tomorrow, I think you're going to see the hype in Cleveland shoot through the roof if Mike Hall Jr. has a nice night tomorrow. One nice play.
If he gets a sack.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Causes a fumble, like, people are going to go nuts about this guy. It's will be one game or one big play, but he's the hometown kid, and he said he wanted to play for the Browns all along.
So we're talking about Mike Hall Jr. Are you buying into the camp hype early, which is 90% of the questions we have when it comes to training camp? We are knee deep, ensconced, some might say, in the midst of a doubleheader, the second in 2 days for the Guardians, the second in 3 days from the Guardians. This time it's against the Twins. We'll see if the Guardians can go ahead and get off their losing schneid. But as the second half of this doubleheader is going to be on Apple TV Plus tonight, part of Friday Night Baseball, we're going to welcome on one of the broadcasting crew right now to talk some Guardians, talk some Twins, talk some baseball. And so we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on of Apple TV Plus Friday Night Baseball, Twins, Guardians tonight. It's the great Tricia Whitaker. Tricia, welcome to the show.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Well, I hate to jam you up, but the very...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Start of this, but we're in a divisional race here, so I'm going to need you to pick a side, Twins or Guardians.
Oh, no. Why you got to do that to me?
I'm sorry.
But the funny thing is, normally when people ask me to pick a side, I pick a side based on where I was raised, and I was raised in the Midwest. So, like, I can't pick a side because they're both Midwest teams. I don't know. I do have a soft spot in my heart for Cleveland sports just because I really grew up watching them and you know, a lot of the pain you guys have endured and all that stuff. So I do have a soft spot for Cleveland, I will say.
Okay, you kind of rode the fence, but it was a very respectful way of doing so. So we have haggled over this because I have a few people in this town who refuse to admit that any point, any baseball series matter. So I know the phrase must win is a very loaded phrase, but considering where the Guardians are, considering that the Twins are 3.5 games back, am I allowed in the hallowed confines of baseball sports talk, am I allowed to consider this a must-win series for the Guardians on August 9th?
Why do we even watch sports or play sports if we're not allowed to say that it's a must-win series or that it's a huge series? That's ridiculous. So I agree with you. Yes, you totally are allowed to, especially, you know, when you consider the future for both of these teams, right, of the rest of the season, because we're talking about who's going to come out on the top of the Central. The Guardians and the Twins are neck and neck, and when it comes to the remaining strength of schedule, that's really where they're neck and neck, right? The rest of the schedule, the rest of the way, kind of stacks up a little similarly for both of them in terms of strength of schedule. So, this is a must-win series for them. Cleveland is coming in today 3.5 games up on the Twins, so let's see. How many games is it? Do the math. Yes, you're allowed to say it's a must-win series.
Yes.
So when you look at, you know, the Central as it stands now and as it plays out, we talked about, you know, obviously this is a must-win series for the Guardians and for the Twins, no doubt. What's it come down to? If you looked at maybe a strength, a weakness, something, could be maybe the Guardians pitching, who knows? What do you think it comes down to between this division?
Yeah, no, you're right. The Guardians pitching, I mean, obviously at the trade deadline, they went out and got Alex Cobb. But if the Guardians have one weakness, it is that starting rotation. The injuries they've experienced there has really hurt them. So I think, you know, for the Guardians, it will come down to their starting pitching. And I think for the Twins, it's going to come down to, can they stay on this nice run that they've had recently, you know? I know that the Guardians have, you know, had their number this season, but if the Twins can continue the way that they have, you know, I think that they have a real shot at it. So I would say the biggest question mark to me is the Guardians rotation at this point.
So it's interesting to see the reaction, Tricia, from Guardians fans, from baseball in general, about the Guardians' approach to acquiring pitching at the deadline. They made kind of more of a minor trade for Alex Cobb than, say, trading for Kikuchi or, you know, making a big swing on a Crochet or something like that. But, you know, he hasn't, and it's a more of a minor trade because he hasn't pitched this year yet, although that stops tonight, thankfully. But they also signed Matthew Boyd coming off Tommy John surgery. So as of right now, the playoff rotation would be Williams, Bibee, and Lively based off how those three guys have pitched this season. Do you think that for the approach of the deadline to truly pay off, Cobb or Boyd have to pitch their way into a postseason rotation spot?
I think so. For sure, I think so. You don't do that at the deadline if that's not kind of the expectation, at least in my opinion, because it was very clear that going into the trade deadline, they needed a turnaround to come for that rotation. So yes, I think the answer to that is 100% yes. And you know, those two guys have got to shake off a little bit of rust, and they got to shake it off quickly once they make their season debuts, like you were talking about. And I think that you're exactly right, that is key for the Guardians in the postseason. And that's what they were hoping when they made these moves at the trade deadline. So any other expectation, I'm not really sure what that expectation would be, because it probably wouldn't be accurate or realistic. I mean, that is the expectation. That's why they did this.
Tricia Whitaker on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So of those guys that I mentioned, Williams and Bibee made their debuts last year. If both guys are in the rotation heading into October, even if they pitch flawlessly down the stretch, is that youth still something to keep an eye on for Guardians fans trying to assess whether they're going to be, you know, a first round out or maybe a team that can win the World Series?
Yeah, I mean, can you repeat that question real quick? You broke up a little bit. Maybe it's just Minnesota service, but can you repeat that again?
They heard you say nice things about Cleveland, and
they're mad at me.
They're going after your signal. So given that Williams and Bibee are both guys year two of their careers, should we be concerned about their youth in a potential playoff series?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. You know, I don't know about that. I've never really bought into that theory of, you know, being concerned about that when it comes to the playoffs. I think if a guy is built for that situation and that stage, he's built for that stage. And I don't really buy into, you know, their youth. I just don't. We've seen guys who are young perform well on it. So I don't think that is something that we should have to worry about. And I also don't think that's a legitimate concern for players. If they're good, they're good. I mean, I don't really think it matters their age or their experience at that level.
So I got into this with my partner, Nick, yesterday, because he asked me, you know, if I thought the Guardians had peaked to this point, because they started off red hot. Then they sort of, you know, the last several weeks, month has not been great. I think they sort of have come back to life, or come back to earth, I should say. What do you say? Do you think that they have peaked?
I always really steer clear of that kind of talk, because, I mean, for example, like, I think I work for the Tampa Bay Rays on a regular basis, and last year, I think the Rays peaked in July, and then they went downhill in August and September. They didn't just go downhill, though. They were really, really bad for about a month. They peaked in June, and then they were really, really bad in July and August. And I think what it comes down to is not necessarily when do you peak, when do you not peak. I think it's, do you put together a good enough regular season to make the postseason? Once you do you have that momentum going into the playoffs, right? Because we've seen teams, I mean, heck, the Rangers last year, are you serious? If you would have told me at the beginning of the season that they were going to win the World Series, I'd been like, are you crazy? No, they're not. But guess what? They got hot at the right time. So I don't really think that peaking during the regular season or low points during the regular season are necessarily a good measuring stick. I think it's, do you make the playoffs? When you make the playoffs, do you have what it takes to put together a run? Do you have that momentum? Do you have that rotation? So I really don't get too caught up in peaks and valleys during the regular season because that's going to happen. I don't think I would say that the Guardians have peaked. I mean, maybe, but I think there's a lot more to come for this team, and they just seem like a really hungry team that can do some damage in the postseason. So I would not worry about that storyline too much.
Trisha
Whitaker. But that's from the outside looking in. So
no, I like it because you said something nice about Cleveland and the Guardians. So I'm more inclined to agree with you. Growing up in the Midwest, you should know that as long as you say nice things about our team, we can agree on it.
I do. I grew up a Cubs fan though, and they were terrible while I was growing up. So I'm used to people saying bad things about us, but it's okay.
How does it feel to know that without a rain delay, that that World Series drought would still be going on?
Oh, come on. Come on. Get out of here with that.
Hey, you're
nonsense.
The one that said Cubs fan.
I think it's a great point, Nick.
I think it's a terrible point, and I think that's an excuse for a team that's still wanting a World Series in the last, how many attempts has it been? Let's talk about it. Oh, Lord, I just lost the Midwest now.
Oh,
I had him. Now I lost him.
What are the odds? We get a rain delay right there.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah. It's like, I'll be honest with you. I don't remember raining
after
outside
all that,
the stadium.
You know, it wasn't like there was momentum on our side or something. I mean, yes.
Not like a big home run had just happened.
A big home run by Rajay Davis.
Specifically him.
Like off, you know, their best,
pitcher
reliever.
Maybe? Yeah. Best reliever? Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I'll just never forget that final out of it. I won't. Extra innings, rain delay. I mean, and also, like, have some respect for the fact that, like, the Cubs were trying to do something similar to what Cleveland was trying to do, looking for their first World Series title since, what, 1948? I mean, like, the Cubs had a longer drought than them. So, these were two respectable teams, and I just think the Cubs hate is unnecessary, guys.
I don't think Michael Martinez is going to forget about that one either.
Yeah. Can we?
The poor guy.
You don't know this, Trisha, but I actually added a nickname for Michael Martinez right in between his first and last name. Unfortunately, I can't say it on air because it's a bad word and the FCC frowns on that kind of thing. But yes, I have not forgiven Cubs fans nor Michael Martinez. Michael Bleepin Martinez, nor Eddie Vedder or Bill Murray. I can't.
Oh, you guys.
By the way, that's
boy.
A total lie. I still love Pearl Jam, and I still will watch any Bill Murray movie any day of the week. Trisha Whitaker.
So will I. Bill Murray's a legend.
He
all right,
really
we can go
is.
Into that later.
No, it's okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm still sending this to the rest of the Midwest because they're on our side. Trisha Whitaker on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One of the beauties of the balanced schedule now is that we don't have to see the Minnesota Twins or anybody else in the division 20 mm-hmm. times a year. So given that we do not see the Twins as much, I know they've lost two straight, but they have been the better team than the Guardians since the All-Star break. What's been behind this better brand of baseball since the All-Star break for Minnesota?
Yeah. They've won five out of their last seven, and that's been good. They've also been getting the job done against teams that are below 500, and I think there's a phrase in baseball, win the games that you're supposed to win, and they've done that, right? And then that's obviously helped them this season and recently, and they really turned it around since that 7-13 start. But since June 9th, the Twins offense has been one of the most dominant offenses in the majors. So I think that has really been a key for them throughout this stretch and after the All-Star break. Pablo Lopez has also pitched a lot better for them than he did in the first half. So that's certainly been key. But I think when you look at it and you look at what they've done since the All-Star break and really, since the end of April, since maybe the beginning of the first half, It's their bats to me that stand out.
Trisha, the Orioles, Guardians, and Astros are all atop their respective divisions. Of all three of those AL division leaders, who has the toughest road to keep the division through the end of the regular season?
Oh my gosh, that's the golden question. I know I work in the AL East, so somebody's going to call me biased for this, but I think it's the Orioles. Because when you look at the AL East, that is a really freaking hard division right there. And the Yankees aren't going anywhere. And the Orioles and Yankees are neck and neck. The Red Sox are right behind them. And obviously the Blue Jays aren't really a threat. But the Rays are starting to play better right now, right? You got four teams in that division playing above 500 at this point. So I think that is probably the toughest stretch for a division leader at this point. Obviously, you know, the Guardians and the Twins, that's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out down the stretch. But I think that's going to be at least the division that I am looking at in the AL specifically.
All right. Because you're a Cubs fan, I do expect multiple mentions today that we haven't won a World Series in 77 years. That's reciprocity. It's the least you can do for us, Tricia.
All right. I'll put the pressure on. I'm sure they'll listen to me. Lovely.
Tricia, great stuff. Even though you're a Cubs fan, and Michael Bleepin Martinez really set me off there for a minute. I'm okay. I'm in a safe place. Great stuff. Can't wait to see you on the broadcast tonight. We appreciate your time.
Anytime, y'all. Talk to you later.
Tricia Whitaker, Apple TV Plus, Friday Night Baseball. She'll be on the call. Twins, Guardians tonight.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.